Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. My greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This next song asks a question.
Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Soul, needing a friend to save me in the
Lord. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we get into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, Father, to open our hearts and minds and to lead us in this study, Father, giving us a greater understanding of your word so that we be not deceived. Father, by Satan and his demonic bunch, nor by mankind. Father, be with us now as we go through our study this morning. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we are in the third chapter of 2 Peter, which is the last chapter of this letter. And then we'll be going in to 1 John. So let us get started, see what the Lord has for us this day. Now, in verse 1, second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. We know there Peter is clearly placing the holy prophets of the Old Testament on the same level of inspiration and authority as the apostles of Christ in the New Testament, emphasizing the inspiration of all Scripture. Now, as we go on in 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, we know this is happening because it's happening all around us. Today, so many has fallen away from the Lord our God and from living his word. It's really a shame. Pardon me a moment. Can't get my throat clear, that's a little. All right. Now, 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. 6. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, Peter here is telling us, Peter further warns, that in the last days of the church age, scoffers, mockers, will ridicule the promise of Christ's second coming. He further states that argument based on supposedly unchanging process since creation failed to recall the severity of the flood of water upon the earth, just as God once destroyed the world by water, so it is now reserved unto fire until the day of judgment. Now, you can find more about that today, to the fiery judgment, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 19. Now, but here in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Yet time makes no difference to the Lord, because he is ever there and will always be there throughout eternity. No ending. Think about that. Life without all this hardship that we go through now, and the heartaches, the tears that we shed, if we're there with him, there'd be none of that. That is really enough to make everybody think about where they want to go when they step out of this life. But there's a whole lot more to it. Now 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to think about that, verse 9. God's not willing that any should perish. Clearly expresses his desire for the salvation of all who will trust in him. Salvation is equated here with repentance. We all know this. But today, we have seen a great falling away, even with and in our churches. 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 13. Nevertheless, we accordingly to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The day of the Lord here refers to the return of Christ in judgment, not the rapture. Since this day results in final apocalyptic judgment, the heavens that will pass away with a great noise are the atmospheric heavens. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Certainly could refer to a nuclear holocaust. Thus Peter urges his readers to look beyond this present world to the new heavens and a new earth characterized by righteousness. Now, 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now you see, you think you can still commit your same old sins and just keep going and being forgiven? But there's not a time you're going to have to quit those sins. We're about to find out different. Within the next few days, we're going to see just how much different. Now, 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according it to the wisdom given unto him has written unto you. As also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter's reference to our beloved brother Paul indicates that the rift between Peter and Paul is not permanent. Peter further refers to Paul's epistle in relation to the other scriptures by equating them with all other scripture, including the Old Testament. We have now come to the end of 2 Peter. As I told you, that we would be going in to the epistle of 1 John. So we're going to go on in to chapter 1 here. Chapter 1, really, is only 10 verses long. And let's see what lays in these 10 verses. So chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. for the life was manifested the way I've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, John here, in that verse 1 and below, alludes to his eyewitness status. That of which he speaks, he has witnessed personally. His witness pertains to the word of life, in other words, Jesus, which is the proclamation concerning the one in whom was life. And then there in verse 2, was manifested means appeared. The life John and others saw is what John seeks to convey to its readers. John says this life, which is summed up, was shown forth in Jesus Christ and was with the Father. This statement echoes John 1:1 and points to Christ's pre-existence, his external presence, and oneness with God the Father. And 3, John seeks to establish, or perhaps to broaden, this fellowship between himself and his readers. The fellowship here means a close association or relationship. In Christian terms, this means mutual acceptance of and submission to the mysteries of Christ's faith. It means sharing in personal knowledge of and heartfelt obedience to God through Jesus Christ. Now, as we go into 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And the major purpose of 1 John is stated in 5:13, but another purpose is stated here for the recipients, and no doubt John as well, to enjoy and share in the deep sense of satisfaction and purpose that knowing Christ and walking with him brings. And there is no joy like knowing and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that have really been born again can tell you that. There is nothing else like it. Now 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no sin in him. And 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him to walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now John is going to speak to us and speak to us straight and in depth. And he's not going to walk around you. Now, 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this next verse, 8, is one that is misused in a lot of our churches. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. They use that verse to proclaim that we all still sin, even after we would become a child of God. And you're going to find out better. You see, they didn't go on to read the rest of it. Because what he was talking about, we all have sin. In our life, we are born of and with that sinful nature. And we all walk in darkness and sin until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in 9, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. We have all been sinners. And that's what he's talking about there in those verses. Is what we was before we go to him. Now, we are finished with chapter 1. We're not going to be getting into chapter 2. Chapter 2 is actually 29 verses long. We'll be taking that on, God willing, this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I pray you'll join with me then, because you're in for a lot of knowledge and things that you need in your life. Think about that, and don't miss out on it. So we're going to be stopping here and closing out for the morning. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Jerusalem. I pray that peace will come upon them and with them. And I'm praying, Father, that they will all see and understand that they need to put their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. Father, this land in which I live turned its back. The land that had been blessed by you turned its back and walked away, taking our Lord Jesus out of every place he was in, even wanting him out of any prayer that's made in public, taking him out of the prayers of our military chaplains for this land. And I pray, Father, that those that have brought all this evil upon our land, that is sitting in high places in our government, be removed from office and be replaced by those, Father, that serve you that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves the church, loves your people and this land, and that they will work all of us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him back into every place he's been taken out of. Now, Father, for those of this ministry and those that listen in, I pray for each and every one of them that they walk in health, because they have been given healing by the stripes that Jesus bore. He carried those stripes and gave you and I healing. Now, Father, watch over us this day as we go through it, keeping us in health, keeping us safe. Father, bring us back together again and add some new ones to us, Father. At 6 p.m. this evening, Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Everyone, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great, great day.